Duhitrihi daughters, Putra sons, Putran grandsons, Cha and Jami daughters-in-law, Jamatri sons-in-law, Parshadan associates, Swatwa property of Avshishtam remaining, Yatkinchit whatever, Graha home, Kosha accumulation of wealth, Parichadam household paraphernalia. So translation, King Paranjana then began to think of his daughters, sons, grandsons, daughters-in-law, sons-in-law, servants and other associates, as well as his house, his household paraphernalia, and his little accumulation of wealth. So you can repeat, King Paranjana then began to think of his daughters, sons, grandsons, daughters-in-law, sons-in-law, servants, and other associates, as well as his house, his household paraphernalia, and his little accumulation of wealth. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is not infrequent for a person overly attached to the material body to request a physician to prolong his life at least for some time. If the so-called scientific physician is able to prolong one's life for a few minutes through the use of oxygen and other medicines, he thinks that he is very successful in his attempts, although ultimately the patient will die. This is called the struggle for existence. At the time of death, both patient and physician still think of prolonging life, although all the constituents of the body are practically dead and gone. So, Duhitri putra potram cha jame jamatri parshadan svatvava shishtam yatkinchid griha kosha. Parichadam. So Om Gada Timadanda Shah Gunanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Un Meditam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So what is being described here are the extensions or the manifestations of the body. You understand? Because these are all things connected to the body. Like the sons, daughters, grandsons, daughters-in-laws, house, servants. They're all coming basically from the bodily attachment. Of course, the verse that we would always chant before that would illustrate this would be what Pumsam Striya Mitunivab Metum Tayor Meto Vadivantiyaho. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitar janasya moha uyam aham ameti. This is an interesting verse. This is a sannyas verse. For those of you who are not sannyasis, please plug your ears up. So it says you, that when one is, before one, let's say, gets into family life, life is very simple. Like we remember, when we joined the Hare Krishna movement, we had all of our belongings could be contained in one box from the grocery store. We would go to Kroger's or something like that. You heard of Kroger's? I think you all know Kroger's because that's where you do the cookies. So we would go to Kroger's or at that time it was Winn-Dixie, I think. So whatever it is, we went there and we said, "Do you have any extra boxes?" And sure, they had plenty of extra boxes, you know. So I got a banana box. So that was a bigger box than the normal boxes. and then I put all my worldly belongings in the banana box. And that was it. And, you know, from time to time, like one time my parents gave me a tape recorder, and then some sannyasi said, I need a tape recorder, can I have it? And I said, oh, of course. Nothing is mine. You know, the sannyasi appreciated it very much. Wow, such an advanced brahmachari. His only possession in the world is a tape, you know, one of these little, you don't use tape recorders anymore, I know that. But that's one of those things that, you know, little cassettes and little things that go from one side to the other. Anyway, so I just said, Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha vyatma nichav anivritta kama dvandvara vimuktara sukaduka samgar kachanchamudha paramaviyam tat. So I said, I want to go back to Godhead, and the only way I'm going to get out of the whole entangling, upside-down banyan tree of this world, which is 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita describes this, right? Which is the reflection of the banyan tree, with the roots going up and the branches going down and all the fruit of activities, one's entangled in the branches, and, you know, the only way is I realize that nothing is mine. This is a very nice consciousness, isn't it? Nothing is mine. Because I come into this world without any clothes, and I leave the world without clothes. As much as I'd like to take my clothes with me, or my socks and my shoes, you know, people accumulate so much. Like as Imelda Marcos accumulating all of her shoes. She had like thousands and thousands of shoes, millions of dollars worth of shoes. So I was thinking like that as a brahmachari, that, wow, nothing is mine, and it's very nice. Just have my bead bag. You know, this is my only possession. Like Lord Chaitanya, when he went to South India, it's described that basically he had a bead bag and a water pot, and that was about it. You know, and then his outer garments and inner garments, and that was it. And of course, when he went to South India, so the devotee said, you have to have a servant to carry those things and another servant to cook for you. All right, that's all right. But it was a very simple life. I remember there was no anxiety. I wasn't worried about paying the bills because I wasn't in charge of a temple at that time. The poor temple president was worried. So I wasn't worried about paying the bills. I wasn't worried about, you know, keeping the electricity going or whatever. It was just like go out every day and distribute Prabhupada's books and chant Hare Krishna, go on Hari Nam. It was this really blissful life. I mean, there was no anxiety. After, you know, the only anxiety was when someone yelled at me or something in the temple. You know, some sannyasi chastised me for being a Maya, which happened quite frequently. But, but you know, and of course we had a sleeping bag, but that fit within the box, you know. Instead of, nowadays, I mean, there's so many. All the sannyasi, everybody has big beds, you know, or futons. They're not even like the futons the Japanese have. The Japanese have their futons. They roll them up in the day and they put them in the closet. That's what a futon is for. But when we have futons, you know, there's something that takes up all the room. You know, king size or super king size futon. So you can keep rolling over like 300 or 400 or 500 times. And, you know, just like all night long, it's just like, you know, several pillows. You know, I have two pillows, you know, one for each arm, you know, in case I turn my head in the middle of the night. But the Bhagavatam says, we have these favorite verses of the Bhagavatam. You know, what is the use for a bed if you have earthly flats to lie on? What is the use for a house if you have a cave? Aren't there any caves anymore in the mountains? What's the use for a pillow if you have arms to put your head on, right? And it's a fact. I mean, we didn't have pillows in those days. I mean, just put our head on the arm, and we slept. Probably slept better than we sleep now because we were working real hard and serving Krishna. And so, in other words, it was a very blissful life. And then, basically, it would have been a lot easier to leave our bodies than it is now. Of course, generally, generally the attachment comes because, you know, people get married and then, like, the man may have one box of books or one box with his goods and the woman may have another box with her goods. And you put them together and you get three moving vans. I mean, it's just like, mathematically, it doesn't even work like that. But, you know, one box of clothes with plus another box of clothes. You can teach this in high school. One box of clothes plus another box of clothes equals three moving vans full of clothes. You know, just like, huh? So, it does. It expands like that. I mean, generally, that's how it expands. But not that I'm not trying to just, like, talk negatively about, you know, association between men and women, because that's what the Bhagavatam talks about. However, it expands with other people, too. You know, even single people. I've experienced in my life, you know, my material goods expand, too. Even though I'm a sannyasi, you know, you remain in one place, and then all of a sudden, my whole attic is full of boxes of things. Of course, half of it's boxes for the temple. You know, they have all the candy for the Christmas marathon, all the kalashes for Janmashtami are up there. But, like, boxes of things like printers for the computer, you know, two computers, things that, like, iPhones, and, you know, yesterday we got a helicopter. I mean, so many things. So many things. It just expands if you're not careful. The point is, if you're not careful, that's the point. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you're married or single. But it's just something that, like, it's like a tar baby or like something. It just sticks to you. Everything you touch, it's like you have super glue on you, and everything you touch sticks to you. And you can't get it off anymore, and you can't live without it. It's incredible. I mean, you find, of course, Lord Chaitanya did remain in one place, but he was very adamant about accepting material facility. There's several stories that we've told before. One story, of course, is that usually they involve Jagadananda Pandit. And Jagadananda Pandit was the one who always tried to give Lord Chaitanya different types of material facility. He wanted to give Lord Chaitanya sandalwood oil to rub on his body. And he thought it was very nice, so he spent a lot of time getting sandalwood oil in different places in Jagannath Puri. He got it in Navadvip. Yeah, he collected it in Navadvip. Sandalwood oil. And he brought it all in great care to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Swarup Damodar Goswami said, Jagannanda has offered this sandalwood oil to you. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, you know, if I use this sandalwood oil, people will laugh at me. They will call me a Dari sannyasi. I mean, the sannyasi who keeps ladies, or just like someone who's just like very finicky, you know, a sannyasi who wears cravats or whatever. So he said, you know, people will laugh at me. So sannyasi has to be very careful like that. Of course, Lord Chaitanya said to Raghunath Das Goswami that one should not eat opulent food, think of the opposite sex even in dreams, or dress in fine clothes. These are the instructions Lord Chaitanya gave. When Raghunath Das Goswami asked, what is the duty of a sannyasi? That's the duty. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to take this sandalwood oil. And Lord Chaitanya said to Jagannanda Pandit, which is natural, he said to Jagannanda Pandit that, I heard you got me some sandalwood oil. Would you please like to offer it to Lord Jagannath instead? Because it should go in the temple. You know, it's meant for the deities. And Jagannanda Pandit became so angry when he heard this, because he's in the mood of Satyabhama. So he became so angry when he heard it, he said, who told you I got sandalwood oil for you? But he took that same sandalwood oil that was in the clay container, because they didn't have metal containers at that time, and he smashed it on the ground. Can you imagine? It was like thousands of dollars worth of sandalwood oil. Sandalwood oil is very, very expensive. I mean, I have some nice pure sandalwood oil that made by my disciples in Fiji, because there's sandalwood trees there. And, you know, I have several containers. I was thinking of giving one to Radhika Lokananda, but it's so expensive that I'm afraid it'll be misused. You know, I'm just afraid. You know, it's because it's so valuable. That's the point.
Just give a little time.
Well, give one drop at a time. Because it's actually one bottle of pure sandalwood oil is worth over $100. The oil you buy in India that says sandalwood oil is not, you know, it's like artificial flavored, not flavored, but it's fragrance sandalwood oil. It's not real. Not real. But this is real sandalwood oil, which I use for my Shilas. So he broke this like thousands or tens of thousands of dollars worth of sandalwood oil, and he just went into his room. He was just so upset. Jagannanda locked himself in his room for several days in a deep depression. He wouldn't leave his room. And Lord Chaitanya got so nervous. It's described that Lord Chaitanya sometimes did things like ate more than he really wanted to, because he was afraid of getting Jagannanda angry. So after two or three days, he knocked on his door. He said, "Would you like to cook for me?" Just to get him out of the room. And so Jagannanda left the room and he cooked. And Lord Chaitanya took the prasadam and he said, "Wow, yeah, when you cook in a mood of anger, it's very delicious." And so he said to Jagannanda, "I want to see you eat here." Because Jagannanda had fasted for 3 days, being so angry. Sometimes you get angry, you just don't want to eat. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to eat. I don't want to talk to anyone like that. So, of course, our anger is not like the anger of pure love manifest by Jagannanda. Our anger is just like the anger because we're just frustrated. Nobody loves us, or nobody appreciates us, or nobody's paying attention to us, or whatever. I mean, we have so much self-centered anger, it's just incredible. So, anyway, so what happened is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You have to take prasadam in front of me." And Jagannanda said, "No, you go and take darshan of Lord Jagannath, or take rest." But Lord Chaitanya assigned, it was Govinda, to watch Jagannanda to make sure he had eaten after that particular time. So that's one instance. Another time, Jagannanda tried to give Lord Chaitanya a nice soft bed, a futon. They didn't call them futons in those days because they didn't know about Japanese. So they tried to give him a nice soft bed, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he refused that too. And finally, Swarup Damodar, because the devotees were upset that Lord Chaitanya had to sleep on the floor and he was bruising his body, sleeping on the floor, and because he was very thin. Lord Chaitanya was very austere as a sannyasi, so he was thin, extremely thin. So he would bruise himself. I mean, when you're not thin, you can sleep on the floor. You got a lot of natural cushion. But when you're thin, you don't have that natural cushion. So the devotees were upset. But basically, eventually, Swarup Damodar Goswami, arranged to make something out of one of Lord Chaitanya's old dhotis, and he pour some banana leaves and he put it into the dhoti to make like some sort of cushion for Lord Chaitanya, so Lord Chaitanya wouldn't directly have to sleep. And Lord Chaitanya accepted that. And Jagannanda sometimes got so upset that he just wanted to leave town. He said, I'm gonna go to Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Don't go to Vrindavan in an angry mood. It's not really good for your spiritual life." But he was renowned for his devotional anger. Even when he went to Vrindavan later on and saw Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami had on his head a red cloth, like a turban or something like that. He had taken some cloth to put on his head. And Jagannanda Pandit asked him, "Where have you gotten this red cloth?" And he said, "I assume it's Lord Chaitanya's remnants." And then Sanatana Goswami said, "No, it was given to me by a sannyasi named Mukunda Saraswati." And Jagannanda got so angry thinking that Sanatana Goswami had accepted something from another sannyasi other than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he grabbed a pot to hit Sanatana Goswami. He grabbed, you know, like, what's a big pot? And he's, how can you do this? And so he was renowned for his devotional anger. We should not be renowned for our anger, but he was renowned for his anger. Anyway, so the reason I'm telling the story is that these stories illustrate that Lord Chaitanya was very careful because when you start accumulating things, it grows. Like I said, it sticks to you. And then before you know it, you got so many things to be attached to in this world. So many things. And what does it mean to be attached to? That you're thinking of those things day and night. I mean, you're going to get an alarm system for your house, or nowadays a, what is it, like a video cameras that go on the internet so you can see what's... I mean, it's good. I was thinking of doing that for the deities, you know, to protect the deities. That's all right. I mean, that's attachment to Krishna and everything. But just, then you have to protect your stuff wherever you are. You have to bring locks with you. You have alarm systems. You have to watch your bags. It just creates anxiety because people will naturally want to steal from you, or you're worried about losing things. What was I going to say about that? Yeah. So I was going to give the story about Sanatana Goswami with the 8 gold coins. When the hotel owner or hotel keeper discovered that Sanatana Goswami had 8 gold coins, because the astrologer said that hotel keeper was going to kill Sanatana Goswami for those 8 gold coins. And so Sanatana Goswami just voluntarily relinquished them, gave them to him, and was able to cross unimpeded the mountains and everything like that, and eventually meet up with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Benares and get instructions. And then we told the story the other day how Sanatana Goswami had this nice chatter given to him by Srikanta, his brother-in-law. And then Lord Chaitanya didn't even approve of this nice chatter. He said, you know, Lord Chaitanya didn't say to give it away, but he kept looking at Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami understood, and he traded it in for an old quilt that some mendicant had on the seashore. And then Lord Chaitanya was very, very pleased. He said, an expert doctor, this is very interesting, an expert doctor does not allow a speck of the disease to remain. Once he gets rid of the disease, he makes sure that it's all, like when I had cancer or something like that, you make sure that one is completely free from cancer. So it's a material disease to be attached to so much paraphernalia. So, anyway, so how to avoid that, I don't know. Anyway, how to avoid this accumulation business, then one really has to take his pleasure, in spite of being, whether he's in household life or a sannyasi with millions of material goods like me. So one has to basically have his attachments to Krishna. So it's not that you can artificially become detached from material paraphernalia. I mean, it just doesn't work like that. Like, the more you try to become detached, the more you become attached. As I said, it's like a tar baby. Tar baby means, for those of you who don't know the American slang, that means it doesn't mean a baby that's, you know, some poor baby got covered with tar because they tarred and feathered him. It means you have this thing that's covered with tar, and you try to get rid of it by pushing it away with one hand, and that hand also gets stuck to it. And then you push it away with your feet, and your feet get stuck to it. You push it away with your face, and your face gets stuck to it. That's a tar baby. So you can't get rid of these attachments or the desire to accumulate things simply by trying to get rid of the attachments, because the taste remains for these attachments. But you have to develop an attachment for Krishna. We've been talking about that, ashakti, you know, which is one of the higher stages of devotional service, attachment for something related with Krishna. Attachment to your service in the beginning, and ultimately attachment to your spiritual form in the spiritual world when you become very advanced in Krishna consciousness. or attached to the association of devotees. We have all these things we can become attached to chanting, attached to the deities. So we should cultivate these particular attachments. And then automatically, the other things like accumulating paraphernalia and being attached, daughters, sons, grandsons. I mean, even if you have daughters, sons, grandsons, daughters-in-law, sons-in-law, servants, and other associates, as well as your health. I mean, it's interesting. Like I said, even sannyasis now have all these things. Not physical sons and grandsons, but, you know, spiritual. So you become attached. See, my disciples. So many disciples do I have today. So many more will I get tomorrow. And you count up the numbers, 10,000, 20,000. Just like Facebook. Oh, I have so many friends on Facebook. I want to have more. I said, but there's a limit of 5,000. How can I overcome that limit? And you ever think about that? Anyway, all of us, you know, whether we're married or not, we have this tendency to accumulate things, become attached to people who are associated with us, just the extended body, be attached to the body in so many ways, so that we have to understand that is a great danger and that will entangle us and keep us here in this material world. Oh, someone had a heart attack. So keep us here in this material world. And so we have to make these attachments on other things related to Krishna. You understand? Preaching, Harinam, you become attached to Harinam. You can become attached. So many things. We have unlimited things, Krishna conscious things to be attached to, isn't it? So you just have to do that, attached to the Vaishnavas. All right? So any questions or comments? We have about 1 minute. No? No one has a question. It's perfect. You usually have a question.
So how can we keep that and focus on our mind and, you know, not accumulating so much? We have so many things we want to use for Christian service. It gets out of hand.
Yeah, it does really get out of hand. That we discover we're trying to swim across a river and we have lead weights attached to our feet. So basically, first of all, find something you really like to do for Krishna that you're attached to, you know, that absorbs your mind 24 hours a day. And be in the association of devotees. Devotees will tell you when you're accumulating too much. Without the association, it's very dangerous. We've been talking about this to other devotees, but it's very dangerous when you're not when you're outside of the association of devotees. Then you really nobody's there to tell you anything. You know, you really can just like, I mean, you start to go off slowly. It's not that all of a sudden, you know, you're smoking marijuana or something. But no, one day you're going to Mangalarti, the next day you're tripping. So it's not like that. It's like two lines that are not parallel, but they're slightly off, and then they. But as you go on and on, it gets further and further away, isn't it? So that's why Prabhupada said we're like the sticks, you know, that one stick can be broken, you put many sticks together, it can't be broken. What does that mean exactly? Not that we just hang out with each other and talk prajalpa and watch Bollywood movies together. But we, you know, we watch over each other, like family members. You know, like if your brother or sister, father, or anyone is doing something that, you know, may ultimately, a little bit down the road, hurt them in their spiritual lives or hurt whatever, then you watch over them. That's your duty. You warn them. Like if someone's on the Prabhupada gave the example, if someone is on the roof and they're walking and they're going to fall off, you yell, hey, you're going to fall off. But if no one's around, he may fall off the roof. He's fixing the shingles. And he falls off the roof. So that's why we have the Association of Devotees. Prabhupada said, living outside of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness.